Hello, one and all, and welcome to Answerable Questions with Questionable Answers, the show in which we tackle some of life's meaningful and meaningless questions. Now, ladies and gentlemen, a few weeks ago, or however many weeks ago it was, we put the call out there and we asked you for some of your questions. And a little chap called Paul Staveley, I don't know if he's little or not, Paul, but we love you, whether you're big or small, asked a question: what is the petty hill you're willing to die on? And we liked that question, didn't we? And
I
we
really
thought,
like
we
that
reckon
one.
We can do a whole show out
I'm
of that one.
I'm so petty.
So we're dedicating this show to you, petty Paul.
little petty Paul.
Indeed. So today's question is, what is the petty hill you are willing to die on? And of course, petty is defined as something of little importance or trivial, just so we're all on the same page. Chris, immediately you've put some extra tobacco in your pipe and have taken a big old drag. What are you about to say?
I had to ask my wife beforehand, what am I petty about? Because I don't think I'm petty about anything.
Yeah, is that what everything you were late
today? Well, actually, my number one there is punctuality, Marcus.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Number one thing that pees me off is punctuality. Consistent punctuality.
That can be petty, and it might not be petty.
Yeah, I mean, it's 2 weeks in a row.
If you're a fireman, that's not petty.
No, very true.
Okay.
Yeah, punctuality. I think in my head, I'm like, they've not left enough time. They don't respect my time. I think my dad was also, you know, if you're not 10 minutes late, if you're not 10 minutes early, you're late.
Oh, really?
It was very like, he'd want to be waiting outside in the car to whatever he'd been at. So I've been indoctrinated that, you know, if people are late, then they're just plain rude.
We actually are one of the listeners on Twitter actually had the same thing as you. They said,
woo-hoo!
When people turn up late to meet you without prior warning and then casually say, sorry, I'm late. You know what? You should be.
Occasionally.
Is that how you feel?
If it was a one-off, no. I think if it's consistently, you know that someone's always going to be late.
But lateness isn't necessarily petty, though. You have to drill down a bit on this, because if someone is an hour late, or if someone is late and you miss a flight or something, blah, 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 blah. So are you saying that, like, a minute late? It has to be petty. It's petty hills, Christopher.
Consistently 10, 15 minutes late. Like, as in, like, I know that if I say 2 o'clock, they're not going to be there at 2:15. I'm a bit like, oh, come on, you know.
Well, just don't, yeah, don't say you'll be there at 2.
Yeah, but I don't want to start lying.
So do
to
you think that's petty then? Because remember, it's of something little importance or trivial. You're basically saying these are not hates. These are petty hates.
Maybe it's...
Or petty...
Ooh, yeah, I like that distinction.
That was by accident.
Well done.
So you have to remember that. So you're saying about lateness and all that kind of stuff. By definition... It doesn't matter. It has to be petty.
It's not petty. It's just rude.
Okay, so you've gone off. Okay. So you've just aired a grievance there.
Yeah, I just needed to get
this
it on my chest.
Session for Chris.
Exactly. But we'll get on with the normal show
If you're
now.
Saying someone is a minute or two late, I would say that is potentially petty.
Yeah, you need some help if that bothers you. I'm not that petty.
Oh, for crying out loud. All right, Sarah, perhaps so more fitting in the question.
Mine isn't... It's not so much a gripe. This is just like... I think this is a thing that I'm just... I will die on this hill. Is that
injustice? You know, again, it has to be petty, okay?
I just think space is really boring.
Space.
Space.
Space is
I
in.
I just don't care about space.
As in, this is not planet Earth.
Yep. Right. I just absolutely don't. I don't give a monkey's. I'm sorry. I understand why other people find it.
What do you think about Star Wars fans?
I've never. Like, each their own, but I'm not watching it.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Like, and
so dying on a petty hill means you're trying to combat this in some way. So what
people
do you,
are just like people. People denier. Are just like, I can change your mind. Trust me. Like, watch this film or read this book or watch this documentary. And I'm like, no, I think it's boring. I'm sorry, it's boring. For me, it's boring. I just don't find asteroids interesting.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, but the amazing wonders. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Like, you can have that, but stop trying to make me like. Interested in it because it's not going
to
happen.
Is it one person you're talking to through the medium of a podcast? Is that what you're trying to
no,
do right
but
now?
I do have a, I do have a few friends.
How are you being petty with this, though?
Because it's not interesting.
No, if you're not interested in something, that's a different thing. How are you being petty about it?
Marcus's petty hill is the word petty.
And it's making
my petty hill is clearly trying to discipline you two.
Yeah. That, I think that is petty.
But not being interested in space and finding it boring.
No, and the fact that everyone is like... Yes, you are.
I'm not interested in it particularly.
No, and that's fine. But a lot of people are like, I can convince you. I can convince you. And I was like, no, you can't.
Yeah, but in the same way, I don't very rarely, if at all, drink alcohol because I don't like the taste. I might have a drop of Baileys once in a blue moon.
Oh, yeah, because that's delicious. And it's like an alcoholic.
But people will try and yeah, but people will try and not so much now, but in the past they've tried to convince me. And so, but that's nothing.
But that doesn't bother you. Look, the way you're speaking about it doesn't bother you.
Yeah, but it did do a few years. But there's nothing petty. That's a decision I've made.
No, but your decision not to drink alcohol and my decision to not to be interested in, I think my dislike is petty.
Right. So why do you dislike space? Is it because other people like it? Because that's petty. That's petty. Then we're getting somewhere.
This is our work.
God, just say yes. Just say yes. Yeah.
I actually don't know. I just think it's boring. I just don't know. You know what? It's not even that it's boring. I don't care about it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like, no, you know, I don't care if that's being a philistine.
But clearly though, the study of space and all that kind of stuff that you're talking about, space, the planets, you know.
Astronomy.
Astrology is something different.
That's very different.
That
connected
is petty.
To.
But it is important. So it's not a trivial matter.
Yes, fine.
So again, I feel that this is not the petty hill.
I got one.
Right.
Water. I don't know why I'm raising my hands. People can't see that. Water left in the kitchen sink.
Okay.
So someone's done the washing up and not let the water out.
Okay.
Yeah,
really bothers me.
That would absolutely.
Because I think it's a breeding ground for germs. And it really ticks me off. That's petty, surely. Because I could just open the sink myself and do that, but I would make a fuss.
Might I have a go?
Go on. You've got
whatever you say.
By
I'm going to say that's
standards
not petty.
Of petty, it's going to pass, isn't it? Because we clearly can't. And now I'm going to get petty about it.
Yeah.
I love the United States of America.
Right.
I like going there. I love England, as you know.
Yeah.
I like Americans. I like English people. I don't know what this is. I don't like English people using Americanisms.
Oh, that really annoys me.
I don't know what it is because Americanisms I'm totally fine with. And I know that... See,
like what?
Your
like,
petty hate is meant to make you sound petty and stupid, right?
Yeah.
And I'm fully aware of what I'm about to sound like right now.
I sound stupid, mine.
But not petty, though.
Okay, fine.
So with...
Wait,
with
yeah, exactly.
I
you sound massively stupid. You're not petty.
When I defined pettiness at the start, you should have edited and gone, oh, actually, I don't know if that was, you know...
Sorry, everyone.
Well, what Americanism do you hate?
Yeah.
So Americanism. So years ago, I mean, this one, I've lost this battle.
Okay.
The word awesome.
Yeah.
When
exactly. Americans, when they say awesome, that's brilliant.
Awe-inspiringly good.
Exactly. That's fine. And
that cookie is not awe-inspiringly good.
I know, but the cookie's not, nor is it amazing or excellent, but English people might describe it as that.
Jolly good.
As well.
Yeah.
But there's something about English people. Again, the word awesome, that was one from a few years ago. I've just got used to that now. I don't use it myself. But when you hear an English person say something's friggin' good or something, it just sounds... It doesn't sound
right.
It does
sound weird.
Yeah, in the same way if an American said, oh, that's bloody good, and they used the word bloody, it would just sound off. And this is where the pettiness comes in. It doesn't matter if an English person uses the word friggin'. It doesn't matter if an American uses the word bloody. It really doesn't matter. That's my own problem. That is my struggle within myself.
I think I've got the same one.
But space does matter, Sarah.
Exactly.
Look, when people say like, write me. I've heard a British person saying, write me instead of write to me.
Oh, well,
like, no. Yep. That's not how we say it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's write to me.
Well, and also...
What about grammar, Sarah? Is that a big thing of yours? People getting their grammar
Well, if it's
wrong.
Incorrect, then yes, don't use incorrect
matter,
grammar.
Though,
just
it?
Don't get it wrong.
But with the Americanisms, like if an English person says, pass me a whole bunch of them. Again, like Americans say a whole bunch of them. English people say, pass me a load of them or something. These things, my radar picks up.
Oh, and your radar's actually very finely tuned, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I know. And I have to, and it doesn't, a few years ago, if we were doing this podcast, I would, if you think I'm ranting now, my goodness, believe me, I...
It's gone very red.
It's almost like a tick in me. I go to sort of say, well, that's it. And I think, no, it's
doesn't
pathetic.
Matter, yeah.
A friend of mine does often, an English friend of mine often talks about a film premiere.
Why? That's weird.
Exactly. That's American. So
isn't
premiere.
An Americanism, can I get, instead of we would say, can I have? Or
can I get?
Oh, that's
a
get? Very subtle one.
Yeah,
so you're tuning up to the radar.
Ooh, okay, I'll join your team.
You're there. Yeah. I think speech, maybe because of what I do, I don't know. Although this has bothered me. For a while, the one that I do, so the Americanisms again, love Americans, and they use the Americans. And I understand with globalization and sort of mixing of cultures, that's how pathetic and petty this sort of silly thing is in me. But the other one is
American spelling.
No, that doesn't bother me.
Oh, that no. Sorry, how does?
No, because that's how they spell words. If an English person
no,
was spelling,
but when English people use them.
Oh, I've not witnessed that.
Yeah, yeah. If the English people drop,
spell mum, M-O-M.
Yeah, or drop the U. I don't know why the Americans hate the letter U. Colour, honour, mum, things like that. Just use U. It's fine. It's okay.
You, just, yo, exactly, you know what?
Yeah. English people use an American spelling.
And another Americanism that I don't care for if English people say is when an English person says bro. Hey, bro.
Oh, yeah.
How you doing, bro?
I called you that on the phone once and you got really serious. Like, don't call me that. So for the next 2 weeks, I'd call him bro.
I know, I'm calling you for
There's
now.
Still a bit of fire in this belly. There's still a bit of fight there. I may have lost a few of these battles, but the war rages on. Only within myself. This is the point. It's petty. It's pathetic. You're better off not having this. The other one that this does annoy me a little bit is... Now, Stephen Fry said this on the programme Room 101 years ago, and he seemed to think it was from Australia. I don't want to blame the Australians, but that's all I've got where this comes from.
Or blame
but
Stephen Fry.
It's when people go up at the end of a sentence.
Okay.
And everything sounds like a question. That pisses me right off.
I think that's partly to do with local accent, though.
No.
Insecurity?
No.
Just no.
Is it they're making a statement, but then it could turn into a question, so
possibly.
They're not sure?
And I remember years ago being at I think it was at Glastonbury, actually, and it was one of the sort of the politics tent, all very left-wing, as you'd imagine, at Glastonbury. And there was an MP there, one of the local MPs in the Somerset area in the West Country of England. And everything he said, he'd be like, he didn't say sort of basic sentences like this, but it was something along the lines of, we just want to improve equality, and we want to do that. And I thought, every time he went up at the end of the sentence, it almost undermined it. He wasn't speaking with authority and leadership.
And you want him to make a statement.
This is actually really petty.
Yeah. Well,
this is so petty.
But does it not annoy you if I start?
No, not at all.
Okay, well, there you go. So there you are, actually. So that's something that clearly, Stephen Fry and I, great thinkers of our generation.
Same wavelength.
Very similar men.
Yes. In a few ways. So that would be one of my own.
Go on, Sarah.
So there we are. I'll now pass the ball over.
Well,
there we go.
There was one that...
Let's just not do some more petty ones and see what happens.
I don't like broccoli.
Yeah.
Is that petty for you?
I think you're just disrespecting Paul Staveley and all the listeners.
Sorry, Paul. We did have quite a lot sent in. We put a little call out.
Oh, go on.
Okay.
And one that was a real repeating theme was about tea.
Oh, go on.
Right. I mean, one person just said that all tea and coffee is disgusting.
Okay. Well, that's probably Marcus.
I agree with that.
Was it you, Marcus? Was it your burner account?
No, what would be petty is when Northerners in England and Southerners in England argue about should you put milk in first or last.
Well, funny you should say that.
There you go.
Because then we had someone, milk goes in last for a cup of tea and I will not accept any other method. It just ruins the taste if you do it first. Thank you, Andrew Steen.
Go on, Steenie.
And then Simon said, putting the boiling water in the cup before the tea bag.
That's
so
weird.
Not sure. Would they be friends? I'm not sure about their methods, but...
Quite possibly.
The way that people make the tea really upsets them. Like, I don't think putting the way you put it in doesn't matter. No. It tastes the same in the end.
What about a cream tea? Would you put the cream on first or the jam?
I don't
or the
care.
Jam and then
it
the cream?
All tastes the same.
But
and
it
is
important. It's
it.
Pettily important.
Well, the thing is, it's petty for some people, but obviously there's a method in the madness that our tweeters or Instagrammers, wherever they were, are saying, because you can say you can burn the tea leaves in a tea bag, you put it in too early, and all that kind of stuff. And with regards to having a scone with, and again, the whole...
Is it scone
or scone? Again, that's petty for me, because it's clearly scone, but... the Welsh one in the room is like, no, it's scone.
The same with I come from Devon, and we say scone.
What do you say?
Scone.
Yeah.
You say scone? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. See, it wouldn't bother me in the slightest.
No.
Scone or scone. But with regards to jam and cream on first, somebody was saying to me that, I can't remember which way it was. I think it's jam first.
Yeah.
You bite into the cream first.
Yeah, so I think the Cornish is jam and then cream because they see the cream as the topping, the
best
bit.
Yes.
As where in Devon it's cream then jam, and I would see the cream as almost a butter substitute with the jam on top.
I don't even use the cream. I just have the jam. I just
ladle the cream in.
Uh-huh. I actually would. I love cream. Awesome. I could literally drink cream.
Another.
Sorry.
You could drink cream.
Oh, if I had a single glass of single cream, yeah.
Okay.
Do you like brandy cream at Christmas?
I feel
like coffee.
Sorry.
Off topic slightly.
Sorry.
But Sarah, you've done a fair bit of journalism in your time. You mentioned there about sort of, I forget which grammar and all that sort of stuff, because that can be petty. But then on another, you know, another sort of incidents or something, that can be very, very important. Now I realise that I'm going over old ground here to another petty one of mine. Misuse of the word irony. Now I appreciate it's a bit of an old, it's a trodden path with obviously Alanis Morissette's song, and I think it was Ed Byrne, the Irish comedian, who brilliantly kind of took that song apart. Yeah. I mean, but this is years ago. This is going back years, so I don't want to overdo it. But again, the reason why it's petty is, for me, if someone says, "Oh, well, that was ironic," and you think, "No, what you meant was that was fitting." Or that was
a funny coincidence.
Exactly. Mm. But it's that kind of almost that you have to feel that you have to jump in and correct it.
It's all to do with language for you, isn't it?
A friend of mine always used to say, oh, well, me and Nick did this, or me and Nick went there. And he would always go, Nick and I.
My mother used to do that
Nick
to me.
And me. But you know what, though? I changed, and I now never make
really?
A mistake there. But with the irony thing, again, it depends on the situation. It's unlikely that it needs to be corrected in terms of just having a chat with your mate. So if you're having a chat with your mate and you go, hang on, that's actually not ironic, and they're in quite a deep sort of train of thought.
Oh, if someone did that
to me.
That's
where it's petty.
Because no one likes a pedant, do they? So it's just like,
yeah, pedantry
I mean?
Is often quite petty. But not always, though. Not always.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Side question, though. What are your love languages?
Why are you doing sides?
Love languages being like, you know, words of affirmation.
Yeah.
Things like that. Because you're...
This is another podcast.
No, but it's connected to do with language, like how important language is. So love language is being, I feel or receive love by words of affirmation, by acts of service, quality time, gifts or touch. So I get really annoyed at not being heard. So in an environment, if everyone has an opinion, I don't get to have one. I don't need it to be accepted, just heard.
Yeah, I would agree.
Then I would get annoyed at that. But my wife says it's because my main love language is words.
Yeah,
and all of my like grievances or annoyances and pet peeves are connected to language sometimes. So that's why I asked about yours. All of your petty things were to do with language. And I was like, I wonder if your love language was words.
Yeah. Yeah, no, one of them definitely is.
There you go.
Also, I guess, you know, you work in the spoken word.
Sure. But it's not always like things like people not queuing properly, that kind of thing.
Oh,
but that's
not petty. That's just a breakdown of society.
That's true.
That's a fundamental breakdown of interaction of humans.
True enough. There was a paper published in the Journal of Experimental Psychology.
We're
all very familiar with.
That's actually a bit of light reading. I normally...
Indeed. Well, it examined...
I turn it to toilet paper so I can read it when I go.
Well, it examined how pettiness... being intentionally attentive to trivial details affects relationships and the way people perceive one another. And the researchers repeatedly found that petty behaviours made people seem less likeable, even when the actions objectively benefited others.
Mm.
So even if the pettiness...
we're unlikable?
Well, even if the pettiness means...
Not
oh,
me
I
and
can't,
you, because
I...
we didn't know what petty was.
Oh, yeah.
The other one.
There you go.
Yeah.
Even if the pettiness is, oh, now I know... how to use the word irony. It's still like, you're still a bit of a knob. Do you know what I mean? There was an example that used when people are very exact about the amount of change they're given. But this is friends. So if you, I don't know, somebody pays for somebody's ticket and they just say, oh, just buy me a drink. And they go, no. I owe you £21.50 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But the other way around, you see. So even if it's petty in terms of the person who is being petty is paying the exact amount of money, there isn't almost a kind of a, you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
There's still, it comes across, if you were to fall down on the likable or dislikable side, if you're black and white, I know it's not black and white, but if you did, you would fall just probably to the side of dislikable, even though your actions are... perhaps to the book or to the letter of the law.
So to stick to the letter of the law just looks petty often, that's what you say.
You can do, yeah.
Golly.
Yeah.
Which is why sometimes in society, you know, when other societies look at, or other cultures look at other cultures and they think, what's the matter with them? I mean, the obvious example is in Ireland, I think in England, everyone's a little bit too uptight because they're a bit too exact with certain things, perhaps.
Irish people listen to this podcast and they think we're all...
Oh, they would have switched off ages ago.
As soon as you went in on using the wrong... Wait, what was it? Using the wrong word?
Irony.
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's that one as well. But yeah, according to the study's co-author, Tammy Kim, being precise isn't always a good thing for the quality of relationships. Mm-hmm. Sometimes leaving a little room for error might be a good idea.
Yeah. Ooh. I do get annoyed when I get picked up on little things.
Do you?
Yeah. It's just like, especially if people know what you're talking about.
Well, so, go on then. Let's have another one of your... That does annoy me. What petty hill are you willing to die on, Chris?
Another petty hill?
Yeah, go on.
That's actually petty.
No, let's have a
proper
first one.
I thought the water in the sink was petty.
Okay. Anything else?
The BBC.
What?
What, no, in general?
No, because that's... But they're important, the BBC, surely.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, I get annoyed that they... what do I get annoyed at of the BBC?
But it has to be something petty you're getting annoyed
They're making money by syndicating the TV shows and then they're making loads of money and cutting it for old people.
God, you're missing the point. Sarah, any from you?
I just really enjoyed the ones people were sent in.
Yeah, any
like,
more? Did any?
Yeah, we had like some of them I thought were varying enough, so I won't. Don't worry, I won't trouble you with those things. Like Pat Buckler said, handshakes are unnecessary. Too much of a social minefield. Who do you shake with?
Just do this. Just do whatever.
Do you
else
do a cool guy handshake? What if you accidentally blank someone? What if yours or someone else's hands are sweaty? Just saying hello with some eye contact, if you like, is fine.
Yeah.
And like,
what about old Mark Hughes, eh? He gets a bit upset with the old handshake.
Yeah.
But a limp handshake, you can get upset. That's a bit petty. So if you get upset with someone who gives you a bit of a limp handshake, I know people who... I get a little bit...
Well, why would you get upset with that?
Because it's piss poor behaviour.
What if they've got a bad
wrist? Why is it? Why?
Yeah,
you're being petty, man.
This is the point. I know exactly. I'm trying to provoke it in you two. What do you think is better? If you receive
a
limp
handshake... I just don't get bothered by stuff.
Well done.
Yeah.
But what others...
Indicating. People not indicating.
But that can cause an accident. It's important. Sarah, anything else from our listeners?
Debs Bishop.
Debs. What's Debs got
Debs.
For us?
Come on,
shortening Debs. Someone's name, even though they have just introduced themselves using the name they prefer. I will not respond to emails, texts, or when someone calls me Debbie. Nope.
Absolutely. That would actually, I mean, here's a little bit of pettiness, petty admin. That would actually make your name longer, Debs. Debbie.
Oh,
do you
so
see
petty.
What I mean?
He's
I'm
so...
displaying it. Yeah. What you
but
do.
It's funny, now that you've said that thing about likability and dislikability, yeah. I definitely...
Don't like
I can
Marcus.
Sort of see that. I'm never doing this podcast again.
No.
Yeah.
But like,
don't be petty.
So you know if you're texting someone
yes.
and you misspell a word, this is a bit like what you were saying, Chris. Uh-huh. If you misspell a word and someone is like, don't you mean na-na-na? And I'm like, yeah, obviously.
You just work it out.
Don't be a... Don't
you,
don't, be
you mean T-H-E-I-R rather than T-H-E-R-E?
Although, there we go. See, I've definitely corrected that, but in a like, I know I'm being annoying.
Well, I think, because I like to spell words correctly. It is the clues in my last name. But sometimes people, when they text, they'll put like or WhatsApp, they'll put a little star like what they meant to say.
Yeah,
but clearly though, if what you meant to say, it's still pretty obvious.
I do that every time to preempt someone being petty.
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
I know.
Same.
Because I'm sick of people pointing out little faults.
If I say like wit instead of with by accident, I'm like, if someone then was like, I think you're so witty, I'd be like, shut up.
Dad jokes is what you don't like then.
Yeah. I think petty people often point out other people's pettiness, which is something.
Meta petty.
Meta petty.
How ironic.
Yeah, very good. Very good. You see, ladies and gentlemen. There's another area where pettiness can be on a grand scale though, and it can change landscapes.
Go on.
What would it be? In building planning and putting houses and all the rest of it, planning permission, you can see some wonderful pettiness in that area. Allow me. There was a chap in Lebanon who was furious that his brother inherited the family land and then his brother built on that family land. He built a very, very, very thin house in front of this land, so his brother lost his sea view. That is glorious pettiness.
Is so petty.
And at its narrowest point, the house is 60 centimetres wide.
Flipping it.
But he had to get the job done.
Wow.
And the thin house was named in Arabic. This guy named the house The Grudge. Absolutely glorious. Do you remember in London a few years ago, a woman wanted to demolish her house and rebuild it in a fancy part of Kensington, which is quite a wealthy, generally speaking, Kensington's quite a wealthy place in the borough in London. And her neighbours rejected the building plans. So she then had her three-story house, quite tall, painted top to bottom in thick red and white bright stripes. Yes.
I remember. Yeah. Oh, I love that.
And the neighbours kicked off. They hated it, and it caused quite a stir. And she said, well, it's nothing to do with, you know, getting revenge or anything. That's what it was. And she eventually won her planning permission to flatten the house and have it rebuilt.
There's a house in Oxford that you drive past, and it has a fake shark out of the out of the roof.
Oh, yeah.
And isn't that because, again, the planning permission was refused?
Oh, was
and the
that
person
a petty
was
thing
like,
as well?
Screw you, I'm just going to do a massive fake shark coming out of my roof instead.
Oh. It's glorious. Yeah. I love it. My favourite example, and I have seen this for my very own eyes, a wonderful story from Buenos Aires, of course, in Argentina. And it's a building which still stands today called the Caverna Building. Now, Caverna is not exactly your typical sort of Spanish or Italian name. It's an Irish name, of course. It's 33 floors high. It's an Art Deco skyscraper and was at the time the tallest building in South America. And it's called Caverna Building because it's named after Corina Caverna, who was a millionaire of Irish descent. And she moved over to Argentina. This was years and years ago. Made her money from property deals. And she was engaged to a member of the Ancarena family, who were aristocrats, so quite wealthy, old money. But the Ancarena family were disapproving of the relationship, which one of their number was getting involved with Corina, because they were old money and she was new and she was from...
Nouveau riche.
Exactly, yeah. She was probably, you know, maybe not as Argentinian as them, all that kind of stuff. So they made sure that they put a lot of pressure in the couple separating. But she vowed revenge, and the family, the Ancarenas, they lived in a local palace, which incidentally is now home to the Argentinian Foreign Ministry. Huh. It's a fabulous building. But she and they had built a private church nearby as well. So this woman, Corina Caverna, instructed an architect to design a skyscraper that would block their view of their own church.
Brilliant.
And it still stands today.
Really?
Imagine that. Oh. 33 stories high skyscraper. So that's pettiness, but it's pettiness on such a grand scale.
What,
like millions of pounds kind of level?
I mean, architectural
pettiness. It's glorious. Like the guide who was saying this, he was like, she is my favourite person in Argentinian folklore. It's absolutely glorious.
I mean, to go through with that.
Yeah.
I mean, we always that's have ideas petty. About stitching other people up, but to actually go through, and as you said, invest millions and millions of pounds, I think you need help.
I think
that's crazy.
I think there should be a plaque.
Yeah.
In Karina's honour.
To pettiness.
Exactly.
You got any more pettiness, Sarah?
You know what? I was thinking about it. I think a lot of it I covered in the transport pet peeves episode.
Yeah,
because a lot of that, I think, you know, like the standing on the left of the escalator on the tube and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't really matter that much. Like, I know it's flow of traffic, but like, I get irrationally angry. I am being quite petty. And people will be like, all right, just calm down. Like, don't need to be like that.
Yeah, I think our previous episode of pet peeves on public transport would have covered some of this, of course.
We did get very petty in some of it. I will accept I was being petty.
It was therapy for you, wasn't it?
It really was. I felt so much better.
Chris, do you actually want to get involved with a genuine one, or are you just so chilled out, nothing, you don't find anything petty?
Oh, I just don't find much petty.
What if someone messes your hair?
Oh, I get raging.
There we go. There we are. Well, we'll end on that note, perhaps, there. Paul Staveley, thank you for your question. I hope that...
Thanks, Paul. Hope we didn't fail you.
Did you justice. And I hope, Paul, that you're not petty at all, because it's a bad idea. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to follow us, we are on Twitter and Instagram, of course, at AQQAPod. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Thank you very much, Christopher.
Nice one, pal.
Thank you very much, Sarah.
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you, good listeners. We'll see you next week.
Bye.